Good morning, my name is Adelia Huang. I'm a hearings officer and this is case number 318-0011 regarding an appeal by John K. Ogard of a decision, an administrative review decision that is dated January 23rd, 2018. The time right now is 10:30 in the morning. It is March 6, 2018. There is a representative here on behalf of the city. Will you please identify yourself for the record?
Christopher Collette.
And who do you work for?
I work for the Bureau of Environmental Services.
And your title?
Program Coordinator.
And is there a representative here on behalf of Mr. Ogard?
I don't see one.
You see one?
I do not see one.
Okay.
The person is my supervisor.
Okay. I am noting for the record that there is no one here who has stated that they are here on behalf of Mr. Ogard. And I want to take a look at the record or the file to see if any notice of today's hearing has been provided. What has been marked as Exhibit 15 is a notice of a hearing. It indicates that it was mailed out on Wednesday, February 7th, 2018, and it does correctly state today's date and time of the hearing. It is about 10:30. This hearing notice does state that hearings begin promptly and that those arriving late may lose the opportunity to present their case or to hear other parties' testimony. Mr. Collette, have you had any communication with Mr. Ogard about today's hearing as far as do you?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to check in with the hearings clerk to see if Mr. Ogard has had any contact with my office.
We have had no contact.
Thank you. So it does appear that Mr. Ogard has decided not to attend, and that is okay. I do believe we have provided correct notice of today's hearing, and we'll go ahead and proceed with the hearing. So the first matter that needs to be addressed is a request from Mr. Collette regarding a request to dismiss the proceeding or the appeal, and I am in receipt of a letter which has been marked as Exhibit 18 from Mr. Collette, which states the basis for his request to dismiss the appeal. So Mr. Collette, is there anything else that you'd like to tell me regarding why I should dismiss the appeal?
Beyond what I stated in the letter?
Yes.
No, there really isn't.
Okay.
But maybe I can ask a question.
Yes.
Because I was actually caught by surprise. I thought just on a matter of like procedure that I would have had to have written an administrative review decision on postponement before you would consider giving a hearing. So when I got the hearing notice, I was kind of I was confused by that. If you could help me understand in the future like what I can anticipate, that would be I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm a little confused here too, because what we received as the basis for the appeal was the decision that is a letter signed by you, and the letter's dated January 23rd, 2018, marked Exhibit 2. Are you telling me that this is not a final determination that can be reviewed or appealed by the appellant?
No, it is a final determination letter, and I thought I thought an appeal at the code hearings office, and I anticipated would follow one of the two issues identified on the appeal letter. That is, deeming the private sewer in the right of way, deeming the assessment or the levy of a sewer conversion charge. Those were both things that I reviewed, and issued a final determination letter. What caught me by surprise was the inputs on the appealing hearing request form, where Mr. Ogart writes, "I understand the statutory validity of the city's decision. I'm hoping to postpone connection to a new sewer extension on Belmont." And that he had never made a request of postponement to me, so I never reviewed that issue.
I see. Well, let me back up here, because one thing that I noticed that was missing from the submission of documents is the original determination that was the subject of the final determination. Do you have a copy of that?
The original. Okay, so now you mean an official statement deeming this a private sewer in the right-of-way?
Right. Whatever was the basis for his administrative review request.
And this is where my bureau has been struggling with this. The non-conforming sewer program is not popular with property owners. When our engineering group does an outreach to people and they learn that we're going to be building new sewers, we're going to be requiring them to connect, it doesn't go down very well. And so what we've tried to do is to, you know, take their concerns and answer them, you know, through just like courtesy responses, even administrative reviews, prior to there being any kind of nuisance abatement posting or anything along those lines. It does set up a situation where, you know, if they don't like what they're hearing from us, you know, that they may come to you before we've even deemed a public nuisance. So to answer your question in the short version, no, there isn't. Because when Mr. Ogard came to me with the complaint, you know, my experience has been that sometimes people feel like they're being bullied by the city. So I try very hard to explain the public policy, to make all of our procedures and what we're going to do transparent. I did as a core, you know, in terms of our conversation, you know, I did discuss, you know, why we're deeming this a private sewer in the right of way, you know, and I don't think my explanation satisfied him. And although he didn't ask, I know that, you know, the sticking point for him is the cost. And so I tried to explain the cost as well. And both those decisions, you know, I think are properly appealable to the code hearings office. So I sort of gave him his rights of appeal, if you will.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you then is that the center of where this all started was the Bureau of Environmental Services had made the determination that the sewer that is the subject of all of this is a private sewer in the public right-of-way.
We haven't officially made that determination because right now we're doing design work, if you will. And what we do when we do design work is we send out these branch location maps. Okay. And so people all of a sudden they realize, oh gosh, there's a project coming. It's going to cost me money, you know. And even in front of us making any kind of declaration of public nuisance, we try to address their concerns. And I feel like that's where we kind of got, this is where it gets sort of confusing and awkward, because when we do that, you know, we're writing final determination letters, kind of are really an apology to the public policy, you know, hoping that they'll understand and maybe accept what's coming a little easier.
Okay, well, that does pose a rather unique situation, because typically we'll have a formal determination that is the basis for going upon the administrative review.
Right.
And then when I get it, I'm looking at, well, did the administrative review correctly determine the outcome of the appeal of the original decision?
Right.
So thank you for that. I will need some time to figure out how that affects this proceeding. You are correct that it looks like Mr. Ogard, when he filled out his appeal hearing request form, it looked like he conceded that there was a statutory basis for the city's position, and the city's position, correct me if I'm wrong, being that the sewer is a private sewer in the public right of way.
That's correct.
Okay. It sounds like he's conceding that, but it doesn't necessarily. He didn't say it in that those words. So I interpreted his statement as he's filing an appeal knowing what the statutes or rules are, but he still submitted his appeal to request that the administrative review determination be reviewed by myself. So as far as what he's requesting, the postponement, your argument is, I understand your argument that what he's asking me to do is something that you're saying I don't have the authority to do, which may very well be the case. However, even before I review what type of relief should be afforded, or if the relief that you set forth in your administrative review decision is appropriate, I need to figure out if the basis for the administrative review decision, whether or not that was legally and factually correct. So I can't jump to whether or not the relief being requested is correct until I figure out if the administrative review determination is correct.
Okay.
So I'm inclined to go ahead and proceed on the appeal with you today. And there is quite a bit in the record already. I'm going to go ahead and admit exhibits. Well, let me ask you, Mr. Collette, do you have any objection to any of the documents that Mr. Ogard submitted into the record?
I do not.
Okay. So I am going to admit exhibits 1 through and including 20. And with your, I believe my office forwarded your documents that you submitted for this hearing to Mr. Ogard, so it doesn't look like there's anything else that he's possibly missing, wherever he may be right now. So let's do this. Given your understanding of what's currently in the record and what Mr. Ogard's position is, I would like to take your testimony for you to reiterate why I should find that your administrative decision is legally and factually justified.
Okay.
So on the Let me place you under oath. Oh. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
I do.
Okay. And so let me just clarify. Based upon our discussion that we just had, the decision that he's appealing, that he appealed for the administrative review, was the oral decision by you or someone else regarding the private, the sewer, serving his this residence or this property being a private sewer?
It was our design team in the engineering group of the Bureau of Environmental Services.
Thank you. And do you know when that decision was made?
I don't.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so these private sewers in the right-of-way, you know, historically they were built to bridge gaps in the public sewer system. People are oftentimes very surprised to find out that their sewer connection is a private sewer in the right-of-way. I think, generally speaking, the public assumes, you know, that if it's in the street, it belongs to the public. But that's not the case here. The reason why I submitted the FECR decision was because this kind of question of a private versus public was taken up in a lot of detail and actually argued by BES city attorney. So I kind of relied on his legal arguments, if you will, to sort of make my own presentation. But under the conclusions of, I guess it was the conclusions of law that was written by Gregory Frank, it's page 6 of the case number 3130438. I'll just read from the conclusion. So the hearing officer returns to the question asked of both parties at the conclusion of the hearing. Who has the burden to show that the line was either public or private? The code hearings officer answers that question by referencing various sections of Portland City Code and administrative rules. I won't go on. I'll just sort of read what his conclusion was at this point. He says, what is clear to the code hearings officer from the above quoted sections of City Code 1704 and Portland City Code 1732 is the public system only includes property or improvements that either the city built or accepted into public ownership. The hearings officer finds where ownership of a particular sewer or drainage line is uncertain, the city may prove such line is private by demonstrating only that there are no records showing that the city constructed and or accepted the line. So to that, to sort of demonstrate that that's what we've done, I submitted, I think Mr. Ogard did as well, what we refer to as as-built maps. Let me see if I can find them. Okay. Let's take a peek at exhibits 3 and 4. So the reason why they're called as-built maps is that they represent the sewer system as it was built. And when we're looking at exhibit 3, you can see that the public sewer system that was built back in, what's the date on this, like?
1894.
1894. You can see that it runs north-south along 35th Avenue. There's a little section that even runs on the east-west configuration, you know, south of Belmont on Yamhill. But you can see there's no public sewer built on Mr. Ogart's block of southeast Belmont. I indicated his property tax lot with a little X. So that's his location, okay. So the city acknowledges construction of this line up and down northeast 35th and Yamhill. I've highlighted that. We do not acknowledge any other public sewer systems in the right-of-way. And in fact, none are visible on the map. Exhibit 4 is a printout from what we're doing today. You know, we're no longer using paper maps. We're almost all digital. And this is a map that's available online through Portland Maps, and it shows the public sewer system as it exists today. And again, you can see there is no public sewer mapped or indicated along southeast Belmont.
Have you indicated on this particular map in Exhibit 4 where the property, Mr. Ogart's property is?
I have. It's that sort of triangle shape. That's sort of almost right in dab. It's almost like the bullseye of the circle. It's that. Do you see that?
Oh, it's a rectangle?
Yeah, rectangle.
Got
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Rectangle. I said triangle, didn't I? Yeah, rectangle. Thanks for the correction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So according to our records, there is no public sewers in the street. The second issue I took up, which is, okay, well, now that we've established that, you know, we're going to be building a public sewer, are you kind of subject to the levy of a sewer conversion charge? And that my argument is outlined in the final determination letter, exhibit number 2. I guess I should probably back up a little bit. I did not in my letter, you know, state code. Would you like me to go back and discuss applicability according to city code?
Yes, if you just want to cite the relevant code provisions, then okay. It'll help me find it when reviewing them.
Absolutely.
During my decision writing process.
So, per our annual rate increase, you know, all BES and the Water Bureau rates go up before City Council, and they're approved by ordinance. You can find in 1736 sewer user charges. 1736-040. Sewer system connection charges. It lists the various charges that we charge or we levy upon a new sewer connection. The relevant one for Mr. Ogart's case is under F, sewer conversion charges. A property owner must pay sanitary sewer conversion charges according to the following two categories and as determined by administrative rule at the time the city provides a new sewer connection or when the property owner requests a permit for a new conforming sewer connection. And there it lists the charge that we levied, which is the commercial conversion charge. It's levied upon, you know, commercial, mixed use, industrial, or institutional properties. Authority for the charge can also be found under 1733. 1733.060, required sanitary sewer conversion charges. property owners must pay the sanitary sewer conversion charges as required by Chapter 1736 at the time the city provides a new sewer connection. And that's what we'll be doing as a result of the Southeast or the Sunnyside Sewer Extension Project. We will be adding a new route of sewer service. I then went on in my final determination letter to explain to him the charge, how it was calculated. It was calculated at $4.08 per square foot by a measured area of 3,300 square feet. That was, those two were multiplied, and it came up with a charge of $13,464. That rate was is not our current rate. That rate was dictated by the fact that he signed a public sewer utility waiver, which in exchange for basically agreeing to the project, not objecting to the project, we agreed to lock in his sewer conversion charge at the rate in effect that he signed the agreement.
Okay.
Any other questions for me?
Let's see here. So one thing that you mentioned was the public policy that you explained in your administrative determination, Exhibit 2. Do you have the reference to the specific policy number that I could find? And you quoted part of the policy where it says, assume that all sewer laterals of unclear ownership are public and assume that all sewer laterals of unclear ownership are private.
That was a statement that the our city attorney had written and drafted in response to the Fecker argument. I don't have what you're asking for. Not that it couldn't be discovered, but I don't really have a document that I can cite that would say that this was reviewed and approved.
Okay. Do you know if that policy that you cited is attached to a specific code provision or administrative rule?
I don't. Not off the top of my head, I don't.
Okay. Okay, so both the quotations of 1 and 2, they're taking from a memorandum from the BES's city attorney, is that right?
Yes, yes.
And Eric, do you know when that memorandum was issued?
Well, I don't know if memorandum's the right term, actually, because as I mentioned, the Fecker case was really complicated, and he was also represented. So Eric Schaffner came in and represented BES, and he had a hand in drafting our final determination letter. And so that was the... That was the wording that I pulled off of his final determination letter.
Okay. I'm just taking a look here to see if there are any other questions. So with regard to the information that was submitted by Mr. Ogard, and it looks like this was submitted also at the time that you'd performed the administrative review, there are a couple of maps. I believe the first one is that we haven't looked at yet. It's marked Exhibit 10. And he also included some photographs. Exhibit 12 contains two photographs. How did you determine that these pieces of evidence that he submitted were not dispositive as far as determining that the sewer is a private sewer or public sewer?
Okay. So I'm looking at Exhibit 10. And my copy is pretty faded. But I don't... I don't see any lines along Belmont that would suggest that there's a public sewer there.
And what is this map to your, in your experience?
I don't know. I don't know where this came from.
Let's see.
I mean, he stated some sort of insurance map.
Okay, but this doesn't look like anything that's in city records.
Not that I was able to review.
Okay. And I think the other map, it looks to be a duplicate, perhaps. What would a sewer line, how would it be indicated on a map such as this?
Is this the map, Exhibit 9?
Exhibit 10?
Exhibit 10? Ideally there would be some kind of a representation, a line, going up and down 35th Avenue, and ideally it would be labeled, you know, public sewer, or some indication of what its construction was. Oftentimes you'll note, like on the one on 18 that's dated 1894, that Exhibit 9, you'll note that it says a CP, that usually designates clay pipe. Those little tick marks that you see along there, those usually indicate laterals or branches coming off the sewer main. I don't see anything like that on Exhibit 10, although when you look at the intersection of East Morrison and 35th, you do see like a dotted line there, which kind of corresponds to the public sewer as mapped on that same intersection on 1894. You can see how it kind of jogs to the left a little bit. It looks like that's the description on Exhibit 10. And actually, it looks like there's a little notation, something like maybe 4-inch pipe. I can't quite read that. But if this map were showing that there were a public sewer running along Southeast Belmont, I would expect to see some sort of indication that's similar to the one that we're seeing in the intersection of Morrison and 35th.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The photographs, other than, you know, I mean, one, demonstrate that there's no building on 3423 Southeast Belmont. It doesn't really show me that these are in any way admitted as public asset.
Could you clarify that statement?
Well, we have a asset management system, so whenever we claim something as a public asset, we assign an inventory number on it. And that doesn't mean that it's actually physically written on there, but it is, you know, on some sort of map. An example of that can be seen it's on Exhibit number 4. Those lines that represent the public sewer, you'll note that there's sort of like little code numbers, usually three letters and three digits. The photographs that, whatever they are, they're not indicated on any maps. I assume these things are all located on private property, which would kind of indicate that they also, I mean, if a sewer line is on private property, it's generally considered the property of that property, you know. So if a sewer line rests within a property boundary, you know, we would say that's the building sewer. That's private property, not public.
I'm just looking at Mr. Ogard's letter in Exhibit 8 to see if I have any other questions.
Okay.
So I'm looking at his second paragraph in Exhibit 8. And so he talks about when the Sunnyside neighborhood was platted. And says, the reason that this original block configuration is relevant is evident when one examines the notes taken by soil solutions technicians during a scope examination performed in May 2011. Party-wise are noted in locations which serve two houses. These homes were demolished in 1912 to make way for the Avalon Theater. The sewer pipe located about 8 feet from the curb served these two houses and was therefore in place prior to construction of the theater. The pipe flows east to a main line in southeast 35th. And then he goes down talking about several new homes are connected to a 32-inch pipe flowing west in Yamhill Street. Because it is extremely unlikely someone would have illegally installed a 120-plus-foot length of sewer line along a major street, I feel it is reasonable to conclude that the Belmont Street work was probably undertaken in conjunction with this 1894 sewer extension and has remained in continuous use since then. Is there anything additional that you'd like to let me know about how you considered this information and why it may not have persuaded you or persuaded you?
Well, again, it goes back to the Fecker case where the code officer said basically we can sort of prove our case by demonstrating there are no records of us having accepted a piece of pipe into the public sewer system. So our as-built maps show there's nothing there that we built. Okay. And actually, historically speaking, these private sewers in the latter were often a practical alternative to the gaps in the public sewer system. So it's not unlikely that in 1894 or when the city was a lot smaller, we built a public sewer to kind of serve the needs of that community at that time, right? But as the city grew, and people perhaps wanted to connect to the public sewer, maybe even were required to, rather than the city saying to them, okay, well, you need to engage in a public works project, that's to say that you need to go down, you need to take financial responsibility for the construction of a proper public sewer. It's very expensive. And so historically, what we've kind of done is said, well, okay, go ahead and build kind of a long lateral connect to the public sewer on 35th. It's a private system. We're not taking it into ownership. It does satisfy the immediate need for a property to connect to the public sewer. And it's kind of been my bureau's, and over time, hundreds of years, we begin to see this is a problem. People have the expectation that what's in the street is public. So when city council authorized the non-conforming sewer program, they understood that we're going to start removing these things. We're piggybacking them on larger rehab projects and looking for opportunities to cost effectively remove these private systems. So, the situation he describes, is actually pretty typical for how these things went in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else you'd like me to know before I close the hearing?
Nothing that I can think of.
Okay, I'd like to reserve decision until I issue my order, and so I'll get that in the next couple of weeks and send it to both parties. I am going to close the hearing, and I thank you very much, Mr. Collette, for taking the time to be here.
You're welcome.